Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast.
What is most true is most real. And God's truth is most real because it underlines all other truths. God's truth, the very character of who he is and the word that he speaks, comes with this eternity guarantee. A life warranty is sometimes what is sold to us by salesmen, offering that with this product, it comes with a lifetime guarantee. And with a smile on my face, I get mischievous and ask, well, whose lifetime? If it's a lifetime of that product, is that a lifetime that matches my lifetime? Or our house? Or is it only temporary, being disguised in the language of it lasts for a lifetime? Jesus, in looking around, was able to convey what the people most wanted to hear and needed to hear was answers to the questions. They were afraid, and he spoke to their need for security. They were threatened, and he spoke to their need for safety. They wondered if they mattered to God and to each other, so he spoke to their sense of belonging. They wanted their lives to matter, so he spoke to their need to achieve. And they wanted the uniqueness of their life to soar, so he spoke to their need for fulfillment. You'll recognize for some of you that this also matches what's called the hierarchy of needs. And when Jesus was laying out the blueprint for his teaching and Messiah ministry, he knew all of that long before it was written about in later books. Because his truth undergirds all real truth. And God's truth comes with an eternal lifeline. It is, as long as God is, his truth lasts. And God always was, is, and will be. Children throughout my pastoral ministry, including my grandchildren today, will ask, where did God come from? And the good news is that God has always been. And out of the generosity of God's heart, then he extended this love in the creation of all the universe. And for you and for me, and because God lasts forever, he's given a way for you to last forever. It's by leaning into knowing what last matters most. And so Jesus, in laying out this blueprint of what we now call the Sermon on the Mount, by which speech historians will say is among the five most influential speeches given in the course of history. And we as believers know that it is the essential message within the core of Jesus' teaching by which then we can know how to follow him, which seems absolutely impossible because it is in our own power. But as Kim eloquently shared from her heart, with a breakdown comes a breakthrough in order that breakthrough then to soar. It is in his might that we find right. It is in his might that we find right, and from this right, then we have might. We have the power to live with might, El Shaddai, God Almighty. We're asking those questions. Where is the current reality taking us, and what is the end game? How is it that our faith can help to shape a future that will honor God? And these questions that we're asking, God knows what's in our heart. And we know that these questions have been asked before, well, in part because Anne Mobley asked them. She passed away 2 weeks ago, who was then our oldest member, 106 years old. You can imagine, as I shared last Sunday, what she had lived through, and I thought through my own question this past week. And yesterday we were here for her life celebration, her memorial service. And what I came to is that she was alive during the last global epidemic. She was 4 when 1918 occurred, and she's lived through the Great Depression, the Great Recession, 2 world wars, many regional wars. She lived through technological and industrial revolutions. She lived through a series of social and racial tumults within our society. She saw the course of change happening through 26 presidential elections. Her soul was made steady by the steadiness of God's eternal truth, rooting her and growing in a lifetime that when she could endure the death of her husband, whom she loved, and she had three young children to raise. And she would live through her own grief when one of her three children would precede her in death when he was a young man. She would move from coast to coast, and eventually that would bring her to San Antonio, living with a lifeline of faith within the life of our church. Now, if an Ann Mosley can live for 106 years and not become cynical, if she can live with a vitality that at age 100 would go swimming, and at age of 102 could still win a Scrabble game against younger minds, if Ann can do that, why can't we do that? See, it's not that she is the model, but she's the inspiration to be in relationship to the model. And the model is Christ Jesus, who indeed is the living truth, who is the way, the truth, and the life. The one comes to the Father through him. And it was this Jesus then, in seeing the heart into the hearts of people who were living in Galilee in that day, who is speaking to the hearts of people across the world today. And the message of Christ is the same, speaking to our circumstances with a relevance of his truth. And it comes with a lifetime guarantee for all eternity. Now, what's underneath this? Well, if we take the 111 verses that make up the Sermon on the Mount, we find them in Matthew 5 through 7, the longer version. And now as I'm preaching through Acts, we're in Luke 6, where there is a heart of the Sermon on the Mount found in Luke's version of Jesus' message. But in both accounts, because Jesus would tell the message in different places, in both accounts, it concludes with this ultimate life guarantee for all eternity. Now, he said, and the core of all of this is God's goodness. For God's goodness lasts forever. Hearing and putting Jesus' words into practice builds God's character into our character. Who do you want to be? Be inspired by good people in our world. But pray for God's character to shape your character. In these months leading up to Easter, be reading the book of Luke. Let Luke's message get into your shaping force of your character. And you will discover God's character touching you with the power of his DNA. God's character then enables your life to last. So Jesus said at the close of the Sermon on the Mount, I want you to come. I want you to come and I want you to hear and I want you to practice. I want you to dig deep to the rock underneath the ground. That's where I want you to build your foundation. So that when the storms come, and they will come, when the rain falls and it will fall, and the wind blows as a mighty force and it will blow its gales, then the house will stand. A friend of mine was asked by a consoling neighbor when the tornado blew through the town and the neighbor's house was still standing, but that of Bill's house had blown down. It was a devastating tornado. And the neighbor said, Oh, Bill, I'm so sorry that your home was destroyed. And with the kind of foundation of a faith that is steady through all circumstances and the freshness of the storm having just blown by, Bill knew what really lasted because his response was this: oh, my home stands still. The house is torn down. But our home of love and life and togetherness stands tall. He knew that it was the lifeline of the relationships that fill up every room in a house that is what has meaning. And that's what was standing on the other side of the storm. They had dug deep into the character of God. And God had dug deep into his own character and healed Bill from alcoholism. And by which then God healed the family to stand the storm required on life on the other side of the tornado, as well as the addiction. So it is that Jesus, speaking to people who didn't have much and those who had a lot financially, but that whether it was a small hut or whether it was a big house in his day, each of them needed to be built upon a foundation beyond sand. And so to dig deep. If you go to Nazareth today, you can see this archaeological dig of a house. And as you look down into it, you can see that they found rock. They found a base by which then to build the structure. And so in your life, there are all kinds of deceptions in our world. There are all kinds of angry people who are hurting deep within, who are wanting you to build your anger on their anger. They're all kind of people who have prejudice against him or her or them, and they're wanting you to join them in the foundation of their prejudice. They're all kind of people who are trying to sell the message that if you only build yourself up in your own ego, then you can make it as you should make it in this world. And all those, each of those messages is a false message. And so Jesus then said, I am your foundation. What I say and what I do, if you will hear and put this into practice, if you will allow me to be the might within you because my right is building righteousness in your character, then you can withstand any storm. And he would give the warning. Talk about how long is a lifetime guarantee. He would say, now, there will come a time when you will die. There will come a time when people will threaten you with a sword. There will come a time when disease will knock on your door of your house. But if you're with me, you're not afraid to die. Because if you're with me, you have an identity that will see you through physical death. Now, don't go volunteering for it, but don't be afraid of it. And what I've discovered in the course of my ministry, in the course of my living on this earth, is the people who have lived best were those who were free to live because they weren't afraid to die. Anne lived 106 years, and she never became cynical. How easy it is to become cynical. And she was free to live because she wasn't afraid to die through the resurrection of Christ Jesus, the foundation for all eternity, and that enabled her to have the courage to keep living. Are you living? Are you living in the power of his might? Are you living in the goodness of God? Are you allowing the goodness of God to shape your character? Here in the sanctuary, joined together on live stream, in our different locations of San Antonio around the world, this message comes for all of us. Our world needs for us to be good based upon the goodness of God's foundation. It was a prophet in a strange way of Balaam and Balaam's ass, speaking the story of Balak in Numbers 23. When somebody was saying to the prophet, I want you to go and curse those people. And the prophet said, I can't do it unless the Lord says for me to do it. And though pressure was placed upon him, and though he was offered bribes, what the word of the God came to that prophet in a pressurized situation in the days of Moses was this. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he will change his mind from his goodness. For what God has spoken, he will make it come true. Now that lasts forever. Ground your life in the goodness of God to let your character be shaped within him. Now that requires an awareness. Part of the beauty of what Kim was willing to share with us in her message was coming to the awareness. Now, true self-awareness is being aware of yourself in light of God. Now here the battle of character is won or lost. If you want to make God smile, ask for the Lord to give you the awareness to see yourself as he sees you. God will smile with that. David would pray, said, "Oh Lord, reveal to me my heart, that I may know my heart, so that then I may delight in my heart, and you will give me the desires of my heart." God then does miracles through the willing heart shaped by his light shining awareness upon us. Now, in our relationships with each other, it can happen this way. We simply say, "Help me understand." Husband to wife, wife to husband, parent to children, children to parents, brother to sister, friend to friend. It's asking, "Help me understand." It really is courageous work to listen and hear from others speak a message that can grow your own awareness of who they are, the world they're living in, and helps you to understand who you are in light of them. There's that relationship that moves with power. So it is in Luke 6, 37 to 42, he says, now I want you to get it this way. Don't condemn, and if you do, you will be condemned. Now, condemnation is God's work, not our work. Now, we can give judgment about what is right and wrong. We can stand for right and against wrong. The prophet Isaiah said, "Woe to the one who says that good is evil and evil is good." So there's that call in our life, but we do not have a right to condemn another person. That's God's work. And God's work brings justice upon all injustice. And so when we move ourselves out of the executioner's role and we allow ourselves to be in the grace throne with Christ, then we ask the question, "Help me understand." And what God gives in self-awareness through his love and light, is we discover there's this beam in our eye. And then God gives us the capacity to remove that beam. And we discover so frequently that all that we see in the other person's eye is a speck. That we've been carrying our load, we've been carrying our stuff, we've been carrying our fears, we've been carrying the stuff that we think we have to do to cope in this world, and we've been projecting it onto others. And the Lord says, "That is just weighing you down with a weight you can't bear. Let it go. Let it go." A great one passed away this past week. Hank Aaron, Hammer and Hank. He held the record for the most career home runs, not just in one season, but in the course of 22 seasons, Hammer and Hank would hit home runs, home for home run, doubles and triples and singles. He would be a teammate that would help his team. And when I was a wee little lad, as they would say in Scotland, and the Houston Astros were the Houston Colt 45s. We're talking way back when. And the height of a vacation from Bernie, Texas was to go to Houston and watch the Colt 45s play. I remember the joy of standing there with my brothers with our baseball glove in hand as the Milwaukee Braves walked by. And there is this young player, Hank Aaron, to watch his career and his consistency, his faith in the Lord. Back when he was about to break through, it was the season of way back when, 1973, to surpass Babe Ruth's record, he received over 900,000 letters. The U.S. Post Service would later would say when he broke the record with his next home run that he was the number one patron of the fan mail as well as home runs. So the Braves gave him a secretary, by the name of Cora, and she helped him in responding to all the fan mail that was coming, but also thousands of letters that were hate mail, that she could feel the sizzle of hate. For some, it was the fear. It was just having a record broken from somebody that they had cherished. For others, because he was a different color of skin. For it was just this sense of a fear that something was changing, and he had the power of character and the bat to do his talent. But he overcame. And so can you and I. This is the victory the Lord gives. What impresses me most about an Ann or a Hank was over the career of their life accomplishments, of showing up for life every day, and in Ann's case, showing up for life every day in light of God, and that gives them a rightness, the goodness of God being the foundation, the awareness to let our lives be shaped by that foundation, then that creates within us a rightness to do right by being right with God, each other, and ourselves. To prayerfully pause before we give a response, to prayerfully pause before we give a reaction, to prayerfully pause and ask, Lord, will this honor you? Because what matters most is what lasts, and what lasts in the light of God is when what we say and do honors him. And so Jesus would give us what's called this golden rule. When we can truly consider the needs of others as if they were as important or more important than our own needs. And so when he said, do to others an action as you would have them do to you. That's something we can all do. It's within each of our capacities. But do we allow that capacity to play itself through? As we move to this invitation, I'm giving you two invitations, or really three. Let today's message sink deeply within you by prayerfully pausing and asking for God's righteousness to shape your character, to be willing to be aware, and to build that into the goodness of your life. Read the Gospel of Luke, headed towards Easter, because the resurrection has proven that the power of the Christ lasts and is real. I'm going to ask you to write a faith story. I want you to write your faith story of what life is like for you right now. Have you had COVID? What was that like? How did you trust God? What's been it like for you at work? What's it been like with your family? Been like in isolation or in togetherness? What's life like for you right now? And just write it as a faith story, like a journal to God. And if you will, send it to me. Because what we'll do is collect faith stories from this season of life as God's faith story in the life of Trinity. Or if you want, record it. Record it and send it to us to be part of our video storytelling. But in that invitation is for you to really to prayerfully pause and reflect it as though God's at work in you, because he is, isn't he? And then in that for you to pause about others, how your story can help you feel what's going on with other people. And give you a compassion maybe where your heart has become bruised and you become self-protective. And that God will renew your heart with a tenderness. You can do this. Do to others. In a consideration as you would like for them to do to you, and don't do to others what won't honor God and you don't want done to you. Oh, followers of Jesus, for us to be the light to shine God's ways in this time. This is our call, and this is what lasts.
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.